Chapter 66. The men, perched on the crest of a hill south of the battlefield. Six of the Saussurean's most powerful magi. Their clothing betrayed none of that. Each dressed in the plain clothes of a trader from his own homeland. Four Alatirans, a Wadriner, and a Modaini. Their sturdy pack horses even bore a respectable amount of trade goods, and if their mounts were a little better than most traders would own, they weren't so fine as to attract comment. But if the men's clothes didn't betray them, their bearing did. These were men who strode the earth with the assurance of gods.
"This oughtn't be pretty," the Modaini said.
Antoninus Wervel was a short butter-tub of a man with a bulbous, florid nose and a fringe of brown hair combed over his shiny pate. In the Modaini fashion, he wore the kohl around his eyes and had darkened and lengthened his eyebrows. It gave him a sinister look.
"How many maesters you figure they've got?"
he asked one of the Alatirin twins, Caden. The gangly youth twitched. Caden was one of two seers in the group, and he was supposed to be spotting.
Sorry, I was just... Are that man's bodyguards all women?"
"Surely not."
"They are," Lord Lucius said. He was the leader of the expedition, and the other seer, but he was more interested in the opposing side. "The Calidorans have at least 10 maesters, probably 20. They're standing close together."
"Lord Lucius," Caden said timidly, "I think they've got 6 Verdmeisters down there, back farther, in the middle. It looks like they're gathered around something, but I can't tell what it is."
The butter tub humphed.
"How many of the touched fight for Cenaria?"
He said it to irritate the Alatirans. In Modai, touched meant talented, not crazy as it did in Alatira. Caden was oblivious.
"There's a man and woman in the Cenarian lines, both trained, standing together. Several others untrained."
"And among the Seoran raiders?"
"I haven't seen the Seoran since they went around the bend."
The other young Alatiran, Jaden, looked unhappy. He was the identical twin of the young seer, with the same handsome features, same floppy black hair, and totally different gifts.
"Why are they being so stupid?" he asked. "We all saw the Lee Nought army coming up from the south, 5,000 lancers who hate the Calidorans more than anything. Why don't the Cenarians wait until they get here?"
"They might not know the Lee Nought are coming," Lord Lucius said.
"Or they might not be coming. They might be waiting to pick off the victor. Or Terra Grayson might want all the glory for herself," Wervel suggested.
They couldn't believe it.
"We aren't just going to sit here, are we? By the light! The Cenarians will be destroyed. 20 maesters. We can take them. I'm good for 3 or 4, and I know the rest of you are as good or better."
"You forget our mission, child Jaden," Lord Lucius said.
"We haven't been sent to fight in anyone's war. The Calidorans aren't a threat to us."
"The Calidorans are a threat to everyone," Jaden protested.
"Silence!"
Jaden cut off, but the defiance on his face didn't alter a whit. The Cenarian line began moving at a slow jog, allowing the army, like an enormous beast, to gain momentum. Caden twitched.
Did any of you feel that?" he asked.
"What?"
Wervel asked.
"I don't know, just... I don't know, like an explosion? May I go see what the Seorans are doing, Lord Lucius?"
"We need your eyes on the battle. Watch and learn, child. We have a rare opportunity to see how the Calidorans fight. You too, Jaden." The Calidoran army was formed in loose ranks, with space beside every warrior for an archer. The archers readied themselves now, each putting arrows in the ground where they could be grabbed quickly. In the front of everyone, the two-man teams of maesters sat on horseback. To the seers, they glowed.
"What will they do, Caden?" Lord Lucius asked. fire, sir.
And lightning second? And why?
Because it will scare the shit out of the Cenarians. I mean, the effects on morale, sir,
Caden said. The Cenarian line was still jogging forward. They were 400 paces away now. The group under General Aegon had advanced to the fore and split. But they didn't just split into one or two or even three groups. His few horsemen and his foot soldiers formed a fragmented line as long as the Cenarian front.
What the hell is he doing?
One of the Alatirans asked. For a long moment, no one answered. He couldn't hope to break the Caladoran line with such a ragged line of his own. His move also left a gap in the Cenarian center. But even as his men watched, another of the Cenarian generals, Duke Wesseros, ordered his men into the gap.
It's genius. He's minimizing his losses, Wervel said.
For a moment, no one asked. If there was one thing Magi hated more than not understanding something, it was not understanding something after someone had understood it first and had given them a hint.
What?
Jaden asked.
Think like a Meister, child. You have enough veer for what, 5, 10 fireballs before you're spent? Usually you'll kill 2 to 5 men with each fireball. With the line this thin, you'll kill one. You might even miss completely. Aegon knows he's gambling. If the main line comes to support his line too late, his first line will be slaughtered. But if they hit within 5 or 10 seconds, he'll have saved hundreds and nullified the, effects on morale. It looks like we've found a general who knows how to fight Meisters. There might be hope for Cenaria after all.
At 200 paces, the line picked up speed. The archers in the Caladoran lines loosed their first volley, and a flock of 2,000 black-feathered arrows took flight. For a long second, they darkened an already bleak sky, casting the shadows of death across the dawn. When they dove back to earth, they buried their barbed beaks in earth and armor and the flesh of men and horses. Again, the dispersed ranks saved hundreds, but up and down the Cenarian line, men flopped over onto the stubbly fields, going from a full sprint to the rest of death in an instant. Others fell, injured, legs or arms pierced, and were trampled by their friends and countrymen a moment later. Horses lost riders and continued the charge merely because the horses to their right and left still charged. Riders lost horses and pitched to the earth at great speed, sometimes flying free of the saddle and rising to run with their earthbound comrades, sometimes getting caught in the saddle and crushed beneath their horse's body. The Caladoran army performed as only veterans can. The archers loosed as many arrows as they could in a few seconds. Then, as a flag went up, each grabbed his remaining arrows and retreated. There were perfect lines in the ranks to allow each archer to get to the back behind the spearmen and swordsmen who would protect them from the melee. As they retreated, without even a separate order being given, the rear lines filled in the gaps the archers had left. The maneuver was nothing special, but the speed at which the army carried it out, with thousands of enemies sprinting toward it, was. The Meisters loosed their fire. Their original plan in shambles. Some of the Meisters hurled balls of fire at the charging horses, while others, still hoping for the effect of running into a firestorm, swept gouts of fire across the stubbly fields. What would have ordinarily broken up and disoriented an entire line in the crucial seconds before impact didn't even slow the Cenarians. The crash of the lines was distinctly inaudible to the Magi, even as far away as they were. Men and horses impaled themselves on spears, and their momentum carried them into the Caladoran ranks,
others crashed full force into Caladoran shields and sent men sprawling. But the Cenarians in that first rank must have been veterans. In most armies, no matter what their commanders told them, many of the men would slow before that last impact. The idea of crashing full force into a line bristling with swords and spears was too viscerally paralyzing for most men. These had no such doubts. They burst into the Caladoran line with all their might. It was an awesome and fearful sight. But they were almost swallowed up before the main body of the Cenarian line hit the Caladorans. The shock of it rippled through the entire Caladoran line, pushing them back a good 10 feet. On their horses, the Maesters laid about themselves with fire and lightning, but far behind the Cenarian front lines, archers on horseback were hunting them, riding back and forth, stopping, shooting arrows from short bows and moving in. The shots seemed impossible. A short bow killing from 200 to 300 paces? Caden checked the archers again, but they weren't talented, he was sure of it. To Caden, it was like watching candles being snuffed one at a time as Maesters toppled from their saddles. The lines heaved back and forth and disintegrated into 1,000 clumps of individual combat. Horses wheeled and stamped and kicked and bit. Maesters burned holes in men, set fire to others, laid about themselves with cudgels or swords of pure magic, and sometimes fell dead, pierced by arrows. In 5 minutes, 17 of the 20 Maesters were riddled with arrows, and the Caladoran line was stretching at the middle. The giant Cenarian who'd led the first charge seemed to be a beacon of hope. Wherever he went, the Cenarians pushed to go there too, and now he was pushing to cut all the way through the Caladoran line. Caden muttered an oath. "Where did they come from?" he asked. The Magi followed his eyes. Rank upon rank of Caladoran Highlanders were forming up to each side of the battlefield.
"The caves," Wervel said. "What are they doing?"
The Highlanders spread out and jogged toward the flanks and back of the battle. There were at least 500 of them, but they didn't charge into the battle. They didn't seem at all disturbed that they were losing the advantage of surprise. They spread their line thinner and thinner, as if to cup the entire rear of the battle.
"Sir," Caden said, "I thought you only tried to surround an enemy if you outnumbered him."
Lord Lucius looked disturbed. He was looking to the back of the Caladoran line where the Verdmeisters were gathered. "What is that chained between the Verdmeisters?"
"That isn't a..."
one Magus said.
"Surely not. They're just legend and superstition."
"May the god have mercy," Wervel said.
"It is!"